Some people see high school as a pivotal time in their lives, a time for friendships, fitting in or not, wondering where your life might lead. Australian writer Alice Pung decided to explore those years in a new novel, Lorinda, which is set in a prestigious fictional ladies' college in Melbourne of the same name. The novel follows Alice Pung's highly successful memoirs about growing up Chinese-Cambodian in Australia, Unpolished Gem and Her Father's Daughter. Sarah Lestrange is speaking with Alice Pung about Lorinda.
What was your experience at high school? Did you go to a place like Lorinda?
No, actually, Lorinda is a work of fiction, and that's so funny because a lot of people have seen the cover and they think, is this Lauriston College? Is this Loretto? Is this MLC? I never went to any of those schools, but I did go to five separate high schools. Lorinda is a book about how an institution can shape an individual's identity. I also visit many schools every year. So over the years, I've visited hundreds of schools, and in every school you see a particular culture. So yeah, it's completely fictional.
I figured it was, but you know, you just get curious about people's experience of high school because it's such a, well, it's a pivotal time in all of our lives, and it's a challenge for everyone, I think.
It is. Yeah, it's 6 years of your life.
Well, let's talk about the main character in this book, Lucy Lamb. She's from a fictional suburb called Stanley, perhaps modelled on the western suburbs of Melbourne.
A lot of people try and guess which school Lorinda is modelled on, but Stanley is not a fictional suburb. Stanley stands for the suburb in which I grew up, which is a place called Braybrook. It's a very working class suburb, and it has still one of the highest socioeconomic disadvantage indices in Melbourne. I wanted to cover class in this book. I've written a lot about culture, but this is a book that's predominantly concerned with class.
Well, introduce us to that experience. So Lucy Lamb gets a scholarship into this prestigious, exclusive girls' school called Lorinda. And all the girls there seem to be from very wealthy backgrounds. Lucy is not. Her mother is an art worker and her father works in a carpet factory. So her experience of going to this new school is all about being different, isn't it?
It is, and it's all about cultural difference. Not cultural as in ethnicity, but a lot of the time class, and a lot of the time Lucy will come into the school and she would have studied, say, you know, John Marston books, whereas they're already doing Shakespeare and Patrick White. So it's a huge cultural chasm. And I remember going once to visit a school for their literature dinner. And if I closed my eyes and these young boys got up to speak and did book reports, they sounded like they were from last century. They had perfect grammar and diction. They sounded like they were from, you know, colonial England. And when I opened my eyes, they were Indian and Asian boys dressed in these beautiful uniforms, so articulate, so intelligent. And yet, I wonder how much of their own culture has been subsumed to become this certain person to fit into the school.
One of the key factors about this school, Lorinda, is that it's run by the cabinet, which is a clutch of three girls who all seem to be just perfect in every way. And they're real bullies, but they're the ones who shape the Lorinda spirit. So this idea of the cabinet, where did that come from? Was that from speaking to people? Because you do visit schools a lot.
Yeah. And also, because I visit schools a lot, you know, and I'm also part of this alliance of all girls schools, so I do support this kind of education, but there are certain schools that promote independence in girls and really strong feminist streak, like MLC. The girls will be engineers or doctors and they're not afraid to, you know, do debating. And then there are other schools where, because they're all girls schools and they're quite traditional, the femininity is really hyped up. And with that, there's a, you know, it's bad to be competitive, it's bad to be a certain temperament, and the girls really suffer for that. And so Lorinda is an exaggeration, almost like a satire of one of those schools, and the cabinet, the idea comes from, so the history of Lorinda is that in the 1800s, the girls went to this finishing school called Lorinda, and once they were finished, they were said to be in the cabinet, inside the glass cabinet, for eligible young men to open it up and take them off and marry them. And so that's just carried on through the centuries and decades to refer to the unspoken hierarchy of the school.
And so there's a very strong emphasis on being polite and being proper rather than necessarily being true to yourself.
Being polite and proper is not the same as being kind or the same as being, you know, respectful.
As we see in the book. Because the bullying in the book, the cruelness of some of that bullying towards the teachers as well. This cabinet really runs the school.
It does. And what's so fascinating when I wrote the book was I'd had so many number of years talking to teachers, and every single one of them had a bullying story, not of students with students, but students picking on them. And I found that fascinating that they wouldn't speak up about it because they felt that they weren't able to control the class and no one would support them, they felt, if they spoke up about it. But when my editor came to edit Lorinda, he would put little comments on my manuscript saying, this sounds a bit far-fetched. And I'd think, this is based on a real event. You know, students actually did this. So,
yeah, I guess if you're, depending on how long ago since you're in high school, anything can sound a bit far-fetched. And actually thinking about it, yes, teachers at my school were bullied by students.
Yeah, and they were usually the vulnerable-looking teachers. There was probably not the meanest teachers. The mean ones are left alone.
What do you get out of visiting schools and talking to the students?
Oh, well, I just love doing it, especially schools where, in the western suburbs or schools where there's a high concentration of yellow or brown kids, you know, because you go in and the school might have saved up for a whole year. They have one author a year, as opposed to 16 with some schools. And so it's a big deal. And I realise that, you know, a Vietnamese kid or Sudanese boy will realise that they could be writers as well. I've had some kids who've said, I've never read a book in my life, miss, but I stole your book from the library. And I thought, yes, this is why I write.
That's great. Lucy Lam, her family's from Vietnam, but they've got Chinese background.
Yeah.
And you yourself, you've got Chinese background, but from Cambodia.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought it was interesting that you didn't write about a Cambodian Chinese girl. Why was that?
Because I'd written about one before. So I didn't write about a Vietnamese girl because I'm not Vietnamese and I'd be appropriating a voice that I don't have. But Chinese who were born in Vietnam are very similar to Chinese born in Cambodia. Half of my relatives are, you know, Chinese born in Vietnam. It's like Chinese born in Australia and Chinese born in Canada have similarities. So I felt I could use that voice, and also Chinese in Southeast Asia are distinctly different from Chinese in mainland China, who are quite foreign to me. You know, I've got them as very good friends, but it's very different culture.
So you felt comfortable, but you, I guess, wanted to explore a different character.
Yeah, and also I didn't want Lucy to have a background of genocide. That's how would you cover this in a young adult book without being flippant about it, because the book isn't about her family surviving genocide, which comes with its own traumas and post-traumatic stress. I just wanted two working-class parents from Vietnam.
Alice, one of the wonderful things about your writing is that it's so humorous. So you can write about all of these very important topics and explore class in this book about a girl coming to terms with who she is. But you're able to use humour to kind of diffuse tension. Is that what humour is for you?
Yeah, it is. So I'm glad you picked that up, because the book's actually a satire. You know, it's meant to be satirical. But the humour has an edge to it because it speaks volumes about the disparity between, you know, the working class and the classes that aren't working class that have quite a lot.
Where does that humour come from? I mean, were you the funny kid at school?
I was at one school I went to. I went to a really lovely school, and my favourite schools was called Christ the King College, which there's a school called Christ the Saviour in Lorinda, and it was in Braybrook. And all these kids from Spanish backgrounds, Maltese backgrounds, you know, Asian backgrounds, were all together, and we were all pretty funny, and we all had personalities irrespective of our culture. And when you're a minority, in a mainstream culture, your personality is deflated because people have all these assumptions about you.
Is the humour hard to write? Is that something that you have to work on, or does it come naturally?
I actually like writing humour. I prefer it to other modes. It comes quite naturally, but it gets edited because some things I find hilarious, most people don't find funny. So it's a hit and miss, but it comes quite easily.
Did you as a teenager think, I'm going to be a writer?
I hope to become a writer, but it's like people hoping to be actors or actresses or, you know, musicians. It was a rare thing, and I've been very lucky.
Alice Pung with Sarah Lestrange. Alice Pung's first novel is called Lorinda, and it's published by Black Ink.
The number of clashes between Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters and police in the neighbourhood of Mong Kok have increased in recent days.
Demonstrators have occupied the streets for the past month, but public protest is nothing new in Hong Kong.
Until about the early 2000s, you're looking at an average of 5 demonstrations in Hong Kong every day.
Hong Kong and the struggle for democracy in a communist state. Download or stream this Rear Vision from the RN website.